Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with John Kaiser, founder and editor of Kaiser Research. Now, John, over the past couple interviews, you and I have been talking about a lot of other commodities. And in all fairness, over the past couple months, these other commodities outside of really precious metals, they've started to run for a number of different reasons, but a lot of reasons too concentrated around a, let's say, post-pandemic recovery because these vaccines are getting rolled out, and also what happened in the U.S. election, those results that we have currently, that more blue wave, we could be seeing more infrastructure spending. And also this general broad move towards focusing a bit more on domestic supply of certain elements or critical metals, as they have been termed. When it comes to, let's say, the second half of this year and the potential of a post-pandemic recovery, what do you think are the key factors we need to be focusing here when it comes to investments in different commodities?
Well, Corey, during the Trump's administration, the one promise that he made, which I really wanted him to keep, was beginning America's infrastructure renewal. That was not allowed to happen because the Republican Party simply did not support the expansion of debt to pay for benefits that the younger generations will enjoy and have to pay for down the road. But with the Senate runoff victory, which splits the Senate 50-50 between Democrats and Republicans, and of course the Biden presidency and the Democrat control of the House, it is now conceivable that bills which support spending for infrastructure renewal will get passed. And the debacle last week in the Capitol has now split Republicans between the far right and more traditional conservatives, who are going to be looking at America post-pandemic and saying, we have to not just get back to where we were before this pandemic hit, but we need to make America bigger and better than it has ever been. So that means the chance of infrastructure renewal bills getting a rubber stamp approval in the House from the Democrats, but attracting enough Republicans in the Senate, could get passed. There's no point in doing them quite yet because this pandemic hasn't clearly peaked and the vaccine rollout has been slow. And we do have to worry a bit about these new variants, such as the 501.V2 coming out of South Africa, which is more transmissible, has a lot more mutations. And we do not know yet if the current crop of vaccines will stop this new virus. So the next 6 months are going to be a lot of uncertainty, but looking forward into the second half, if we can get past this pandemic, this is going to be very bullish for both the raw material sector, because we're going to need a lot more material than is being produced right now, and also the precious metal sector, because the debt will go up significantly beyond current levels to fund the rebuilding of America's infrastructure.
So, John, a lot of these different commodities have already started running, but are there any in particular that you think have been kind of forgotten or underperforming this broad-based move up?
Well, Corey, the really big story that's cranking stocks in other categories in the market is that the electric vehicle build-out is happening a lot faster than anybody anticipated, in 2016-17, when we had our first lithium cobalt boom based on what at the time were considered pretty optimistic predictions for electric vehicles. Now we're seeing that the car makers across the board, even though the last administration, was lowering the target standards for fuel emissions and that, they have embraced electric vehicle development in a very big way. And so the market's waking up to two problems. One is the existing supply infrastructure is not really geared to provide all the materials such as rare earths and lithium that are needed to make these vehicles and the lithium ion batteries. And there is also the problem that many of these materials come from China. And regardless of what happens with the pandemic and with the new administration coming in, the tension between China and the United States is not going to go down. China has shifted from being sort of a passive appease everybody mode to adopting this new wolf warrior mentality where they are bullying other countries. You know, right now that they've got tankers parked outside the ports with Australian stuff that they are saying, oh, you somehow fail our quality standards, so therefore we're not letting you ship the stuff to us. All because Australia dared to say, we need to find out how this virus managed to come into existence and get so out of control. So rare earths have risen, especially the magnet ones that are related to the electric vehicles. Lithium, which was as low as $2.60 a pound for lithium carbonate, is now $4. That's still a long way from the sort of $12 to $15 a pound it was back in 2016-17 when we were all very excited about lithium. And the other metals, the ones that go into these cars, like the Robert Friedland's collection of aluminum, copper, nickel, and scandium, these have all done well. In fact, nickel is now over $8 a pound, which is higher than the optimists were talking about not too long ago.
So, John, as much bullishness as there is around here of A, companies starting to, or at least making comments that they're going to adapt more of this domestic production, governments, especially the U.S., taking a harder stance against China and designating some metals as critical metals. Which one, whether the companies or the governments, does it fall on in your eyes to continue this move and continue this trend of more domestic supply and also understanding that these elements that go into these devices or whatever is being produced are crucial, but these guys haven't really taken that much of a step towards ensuring they know where all their raw material is coming from?
Yeah, well, I mean, the poster child for rare earth is MP Materials, which acquired the Mountain Pass project that Molycorp tried to develop back in Rare Earth Mania 1.0, which was 2009 to 2011. I mean, rare earth prices went insanely high during that period to unsustainable levels. And afterwards, they dropped down even lower than it was before. And of course, at the time, the electric vehicle was still just a concept. Tesla was still starting. It was a fraction of its valuation that it is today. But now, this Mountain Pass project has a $5 billion U.S. valuation. And 90% of the rock value of its 19 million tons of total rare earths at 7% is due to neodymium and praseodymium, which are the key metals that go into these magnets required by hybrids and electric vehicles. And right now, most apart from what Lynas produces from its Mount Weld project that it cracks and separates in Malaysia, most rare earths still come from China. And China's building out its own electric vehicle fleet. So now the market's looking at what other deposits in North America are worth looking at. And the one that I flagged, and I'm still calling it a bottom fish because something still needs to happen to make them own 100%, it is Defense Metals. And it has the right to acquire 100% of the Wichita deposit in British Columbia on the western side of the Rocky Mountains. And this was found about 12, 13 years ago. It was private during the last rare earth boom. They picked it up in 2018 and have been advancing it, got 43-101 resource estimate. This has 16, 17 million tons of 3% light rare earths. It's very similar to Mountain Pass, except the grade is only about 42%. It's slightly smaller, but I think when they do more drilling, they'll eventually make it bigger. It'll be bigger than the Mountain Pass deposit in terms of tonnage. And this little company, Defense Metals Corp, has been struggling all this time because of the low rare earth price. But now we have a chance for Defense Metals to acquire the remaining 49%, which probably means doubling the fully diluted to 150 million tons. tons. They need to do more metallurgical work, need several million dollars. So this company's on the threshold of becoming the second MP Materials, not, of course, anywhere near the same valuation because there's already enormous sunk costs behind MP Materials. But even MP Materials won't be delivering any rare earths until 2022. So this is a story that's just starting to capture the imagination. And, you know, it's not in America the way Mountain Pass is. It's in Canada, which is really, you know, it's North America. It is different from being, say, in Asia or Africa somewhere where you have no idea who's going to end up dictating how or when or if something will be developed.
Well, defense metals, I've actually seen it brought up a couple times by some of my listeners. I know some of you have been trading in and out of that, and I've actually been in touch with defense metals, and I am planning on having them on the show early next week for a broad overview. John, what about some other, maybe smaller stocks or stocks that you think are still good investments or at least have some good long-term fundamentals in this generally bullish narrative that we have outlined here?
Well, the one that I own a lot of stock in and have been, you know, supporting for a decade now is Scandium International. And last week, there was a development which completely changes the fundamental situation for Scandium International. Now, they own the Ningen deposit in New South Wales of Australia. It's a primary, scalable, scandium-only deposit. It's fully permitted, but it takes $100 million to build it, and you can't raise that $100 million until you have your order book filled for the 35 tons of scandium oxide they would produce from the initial phase. And this has become a chicken and egg problem for the scandium sector. And scandium is the ideal marriage partner for aluminum. Aluminum scandium alloy really does wonders for lightweighting, makes aluminum much more usable in a lot of where applications for high strength is required. The whole electric vehicle industry and the push for clean energy wants to use more and more aluminum. You know, Robert Friedland's four metals are aluminum, copper, nickel, and scandium. The scandium and aluminum come together to make lighter structures for cars. And the big development, which took we first heard about in May of last year, was that Rio Tinto at its Sorel-Tracy facility in Quebec was able to recover scandium after being forced to upgrade its 80% titanium slag to 95% rutile equivalent titanium dioxide, which is what all the pigment makers, the paint industry, requires for the new process that that they now use to make paint rather than the old one. And Rio Tinto has mined its Lac-Tio deposit, iron titanium deposit in Quebec, for many decades and has always sold this 80% titanium slag, but its market was basically evaporating on it. And this became, this crisis became the mother of invention. So they came up with a process to strip out the scandium. And now because they own the Alcan Aluminum division, which they acquired during the China super cycle, they are now able to feed the scandium that they're recovering into Alcan, make alloys, and use their existing aluminum marketing network to start making aluminum scandium master alloy available to end users. And my calculations, based on the sort of 70 ppm scandium within this ore, is that they could produce 50 to 70 tons per annum. And that's pretty much the limit. But that's 3-4 times bigger than the current global supply from a variety of byproduct sources. So this allows them to start building up the demand gradually, because if, say, Tesla wants an aluminum scandium alloy next week, they'll be able to get it from Rio Tinto. But the total market ultimately can grow to 1,000 tons per year, and Rio Tinto is limited. And for poor little Scandium International, you know, everybody said, okay, your Ningen deposit's worthless because you can't, secure 35 tons per year. All of a sudden, a group like Rio Tinto looks at this and says, well, this thing's ready to build, and we won't need it until several years from now. Geez, if we ought to own that. And now an asset that was regarded as not being worth its NPV is conceivably 50 to 70 cents a share price for this company. And that's why this stock has gone from its 10 cent gutter from the past year or so to a recent high of sort of 35 cents. And it's now 30, 35 cents adjusting to this new fundamental value for an asset people had decided was hopeless. But that company's also did some R&D and came up with an innovation to recover critical metals from the copper oxide waste streams from a dozen operations in the United States. And the acid dissolves all kinds of stuff. They've only figured out how to recover the copper. So everything gets pumped back onto the heap leach. It's a total, you know, tragedy, a waste. So these guys are now negotiating with the likes of Freeport to set up a critical metal recovery circuit, which will include scandium byproduct, but other metals like cobalt, nickel, manganese, and the cobalt, although everybody's figuring out how to do with less and less cobalt, to get a North American supply of high purity cobalt from these waste streams, this would be a huge critical metals type of development. And Scandium International is just an example of these sorts of things. The whole desire for ESG certification to be able to say, yep, I get my my cobalt sulfate from this Freeport operation there, and it's all done properly, and here are the ESG credentials. This might even allow premium pricing for these supply products, and innovations like Robert Friedland's Smarter Markets ABEX exchange, where you can actually offer not just a, you know, small amounts of material, but ESG certified material, that alters the dynamic of the market. It makes it possible for brand conscious groups like Tesla to source materials outside of China. It destroys the tyranny of the dirty China price, because China cannot compete in this arena. I mean, they've made Jack Ma disappear and put a ban on anybody saying anything about Alibaba. This country suppresses all media criticism. So therefore, they can say anything they want, and it is all absolutely untrustworthy because China brooks no criticism of anything that it does. So this, the Scandium International stock is waking up. It's getting value for the Ningen. And if they can do a deal with the likes of Freeport, then it goes into the critical metals recovery space also.
All right, John, we're going to wrap it up there. Some good insights on a couple stocks that you and I have talked about before, or at least Scandium International we have talked about before. Rising metals prices, especially some of these smaller sectors in terms of commodities, definitely does bring on these other stocks that had been struggling for a long time. And it is one of the fundamental drivers, but also paying attention to what the company is doing to better attract some more of the end users, some more of these companies that could enter into some strategic agreements. That's crucial for these companies to watch as well. John, great chatting with you. Thanks again for your time. I will post a link to the Kaiser Research website. And hey, if anybody wants John and I to discuss any other companies or anything else to do with some of these other smaller resource sectors, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. John, thanks for your time today.
It's been a pleasure, Corey.